So this morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles, and I'm going to read a few portions. Starts out with Luke 9, chapter 1, or Luke 9, verse 1. And then we're going to turn to 9, starting at verse 10. I'm going to read to the end of 5, and then starting at verse 10. Luke 9, verse 1. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God, heal the sick. And these were his instructions as he was talking to them. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if that town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. And so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching God's news. Now, verse 10 to the end of 17. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped away quietly with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowd found out where he was going, and they followed him, and he welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those that were sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, send the crowd away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place. And take heed of verse 13. But Jesus said, you feed them. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd? For there are about 5,000 men. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of 50 each. So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples, so that they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. It's quite a story. This morning I would like to address something that we all have done or will do at some time. As we've read in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 4, and then also 10 to 16, this is a story that we all have read and have heard many times, both of them. And of course, it ends with Jesus feeding a multitude of people with next to nothing. Although this is a spectacular miracle, and it certainly was, I want to concentrate on what happened just before this happened. As we just read in this passage, the apostles had just returned from an amazing trip. Can't you just imagine how excited they were? They got fed, they got put up wherever they went for their night's lodging and so on and so forth, and they were able to spread the word, and they were able to heal people. So they were very excited, I'm sure. So this in itself was amazing, that they had been given the power to do these things, but it was how they were to go without anything but the clothes on their back. And now they're back from their journey and no worse for wear. Fantastic stories. And they see this big crowd of people. I can just see them discussing the perceived problem. Look at all these people. They haven't had food for a while. Superstores closing. Lord, send them away so that they can get food. And here's the thing I was talking about in my opening statement. The apostles had taken over the ownership of what was going on and were worrying about it. And it wasn't theirs to worry about or to even solve, at least not on their own. So Jesus, in his wisdom, decides to see if they can handle the problem. After all, they were worried about it. Why shouldn't they be able to do something about it? And he says three simple words that must have floored them. You feed them. You're worried about the situation, so you fix it. Well, in their mind, they had found the solution by sending them all away. That's kind of a neat solution. Can't solve it? Get out. Never had they anticipated that Jesus would not agree with this or tell them to further take care of the problem. So how often do we take ownership of a situation we shouldn't? How often do we worry about things we know we can't change by anything we do? Matthew 6:25, we read about worrying. Let's go to Matthew 6:25. And this isn't worrying about the big things, even what Jesus is talking. He's worried about the little things, or he's telling us not to worry about the little things. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I'm going to read a few more verses. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about the wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? We're not to worry about everyday life. And that's tough, because everyday life sometimes sends us curveballs. We don't know how to handle some things. Sometimes things happen very quickly. So everyday life isn't always easy. Because we're not to worry about everyday life, because it won't change a thing if we do. Unless, of course, the Lord wants it to change. Or he wants to change our lives. And if that's the case, it wasn't worth worrying over anyway. Because he's going to do what he's going to do. If, however, we go to God in prayer and let him know we have a problem, that he will hear our prayer. He will listen to our prayer, and he won't worry about it, so why should we? 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we read that we should give all our worries to God, for he cares for you. So let's remember to bring our big and small worries to God in prayer, and he will sustain us. Now I'm going to flip the whole idea around a bit. So what happens, though, when we are asked to do a task for God? If God directly asks us to do something. Remember Jonah? He was asked to do something, and he ran. What if we don't want to do the task? What if we worry about it? After all, it was God that asked us. Worrying won't change it. Remember, there are times when our Lord gives us a certain task that he wants us to take ownership of. What are the worries then? I don't know how. It's not what I'm good at. I can't. I'm too busy. Many, many excuses. And we worry about it. Jesus is there at this time saying, I know you can't. You can't do it by yourself, but with me, there's nothing to worry about and all is possible. So why this subject today? Well, I'm talking about myself now. I have a tendency to worry first, then ask questions, and then ask God, where it should be asked God, and the rest doesn't matter. So I ask God for help, the last thing, and when I should be asking first, and then there would be nothing else to worry about.